We have to bring religion back.
All right, let's see it.
We have to bring it back much stronger. It's one of the biggest problems that we've had over the last fairly long period of time.
So, two things to note here. First, when someone like Trump talks about religion as a social good, they're not talking about religion in general, they're talking about Christianity, and more specifically, Protestant Christianity, even more specifically, evangelical Christianity, and even more specifically than that, Christian nationalism. This is about structuring power in favor of Christian nationalism, since Christian nationalism is what put Trump into power. And so Trump obviously doesn't want more Muslims in our country. Trump does not want more Hindus in our country. Trump very obviously does not want more indigenous African religions in our country. Trump wants more access to power and resources. And he does that by making Christian nationalists happy. Second thing to note is that it is a common assumption among folks who don't think very hard about themselves or their religion that more religion would be the answer to the social ills that we've been experiencing for generations now. And the opposite is actually what the data support. See, Christian nationalism is the cause of and is responsible for a lot of the most salient social ills that we've been experiencing. And this goes back to before we referred to it as Christian nationalism, back into the 70s when folks like Jerry Falwell and Paul Weyrich went on this national campaign to try to galvanize the silent majority to try to get more conservative Christians to put conservative Christians into office. And why were they doing it? Because they didn't like that the government was forcing them to admit black students to their universities. But they knew white supremacy was not going to be that great a rallying cry. So they identified abortion as the rallying cry around which they could galvanize this religious right. And ever since then, conservative Christians have been working harder and harder and harder to arrogate political power. And that gives us what we have today in Christian nationalism. And there's a lot of research that demonstrates correlation between Christian nationalism and attitudes and prejudices and ideologies that harm other people. For instance, this paper from the journal Social Problems from 2021, White Christian Nationalism and Relative Political Tolerance for Racists, found that when we examine relative tolerance toward racists compared to other stigmatized groups, white Christian nationalists show greater tolerance than other whites. This effect is distinct from personal religiosity, which is associated with lower relative tolerance toward racists. Additionally, we find both time and gender moderate the association between white Christian nationalism and relative tolerance toward racists. Findings ultimately demonstrate that white Americans who adhere to Christian nationalism exhibit authoritarian tendencies, expressing lower tolerance for all groups considered, while making greater relative allowance for old-fashioned racists, who may be allies in the task of social control and coercion. And then we've got this Sociology of Religion article from last year, Liberty for Us, Limits for Them, Christian Nationalism and Americans' Views on Citizens' Rights. They found, analysis drawn from a nationally representative sample of U.S. adults show Christian nationalism is a leading predictor that Americans prioritize gun rights, religious freedom, and states' rights, but deprioritize freedom of speech, the press, right to a speedy and fair trial, and protection from unlawful searches and seizures. Further analyses indicate Christian nationalism is the strongest predictor that Americans view voting as a privilege, not a right. Findings suggest Christian nationalism may incline Americans to support rights more suited to the continuance of the current social order and maintenance of power structures, while also making them less likely to support rights traditionally associated with challenging these structures. Then we've got this Sociological Quarterly paper, also from last year, Our Kind of American, Christian Nationalism, Race, and Contingent Views of Cultural Membership. Data from the 2014 General Social Survey show Christian nationalism predicts white adults hold more exclusionary and assimilationist views. However, among black adults, not Hispanic adults, Christian nationalism is associated with a rejection of domestic racial slash ethnic minorities assimilating. And among Hispanic adults, not black adults, Christian nationalism is associated with a rejection of exclusionary or assimilationist views when immigrants are under consideration. In contrast, when immigrants are the target, Christian nationalism operates identically for black and white Americans, The same is true for Hispanic and white Americans when domestic minorities are the target. For ethno-racial minorities, Christian nationalism is thus linked with both inclusive/pluralistic views and exclusionary/assimilationist views, contingent on whether it connects them to the in-group or the out-group. What Christian nationalism does is divides up Americans into in-groups and out-groups and privileges the in-groups while trying to marginalize and minoritize and suppress the power of the out-group. Then we've got this paper from the Journal for the Scientific Study of Religion, Enforcing Christian Nationalism, Examining the Link Between Group Identity and Punitive Attitudes in the United States. What they found was that adherence to Christian nationalism predicts three indicators of authoritarian views toward controlling crime and deviance: support for capital punishment, stricter punishment for federal crime, and for society to, quote, crack down on troublemakers. These effects are robust to the inclusion of a comprehensive battery of 20 socioeconomic, political, and religious controls, and are consistent with previous research on Christian nationalism showing it is not religious commitment or traditionalism per se that leads to intolerant attitudes, but rather the conflation of one's religious identity with other social identities, in this case, national. These findings indicate that beyond socio-political and religious influences, the belief that the United States is and should be a, quote, Christian nation increases desires for group conformity and strict control for both criminals and, quote, unquote, troublemakers. So in the end, what Donald Trump is advocating for is more of the problem, because his concern is not the problem. His concern is structuring power and values and boundaries that best serve his interests. And unfortunately, Christian nationalism has become deeply embedded in the identity politics of an awful lot of Christians who are not even going to pretend to be willing to think critically about the effects of those identity politics on other folks. After all, part of Christian nationalism is minoritizing, marginalizing, oppressing the out-group. And that's exactly what thinking critically would undermine. And so they're obviously not going to engage in that. And Donald Trump doesn't even know how time zones work. So he's very clearly not even going to be able to think critically about any of this either. And two wonderful scholars who've been doing some great work in recent years on Christian nationalism are Andrew Whitehead and Samuel Perry, who were authors on most of those papers that I just referenced. And if you want to see some books of theirs, Taking America Back for God is a book that they co-wrote on Christian nationalism. And then Andrew Whitehead published this wonderful book, American Idolatry, on the problems that Christian nationalism causes for Christians. And then Samuel Perry published a wonderful book entitled Religion for Realists that is all about why Americans need to be aware of the scientific study of religion.